Good to see each and every one present this evening. My desire that the few minutes that we spend in studying God's Word will better equip us to serve this wonderful Savior that we have sung about tonight. If you have your Old Testaments, turn to the book of Proverbs. Our study tonight will be taken from the book of Proverbs. We're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 3, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 3, where in this introduction to the book, he states its purpose. He says to receive instruction in wise behavior. The book of Proverbs is a very practical book, telling us wise ways to think, speak, and act in our journey through life. Since the book of Proverbs has so much to say about being lazy, or your version may use the term slothful, or it may use the term being a sluggard, evidently, wise behavior will be alert to the danger of falling into that trap and endeavor to avoid being lazy or slothful or a sluggard. As we read the verses tonight, if your version happens to say slothful or sluggard, you can mentally simply transfer the idea of lazy or lazy person, because that's the words that we would use to connote those ideas. I want to begin our study in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. The benefit of starting here is it helps us, if I'm correct about the passage, to define the idea of lazy. When we think about a lazy person, we may think of someone who's always laying on the couch. They never get out to do anything. They're just so sluggish, they do nothing. But if I understand the word lazy in the book of Proverbs, that is not the idea. Look at this verse with me. A lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. I'm not a hunter, but I know men that are. And I know that some men who are hunters do a lot of work, intensive labor. First of all, getting ready to go hunting. In years past, we had men in this congregation. When hunting season was coming on, they'd go through intense exercises. And then there was a lot of preparation of the materials that they would use to go hunting. And then I've talked to men that go hunting, for example, for elk in the mountains. It's often very strenuous, climbing up and down and that kind of thing. So if he has prey that he has captured, it's not that this man is not willing to do anything. The point is, he's got his prey. But now it requires the unglorious parts, the parts he may not like. Dragging the prey back to camp, gutting the prey, getting it ready for roasting and cooking. That's not the glorious part. It may be the work part. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do what needs to be done and ought to be done to preserve his possession, because he lacks that diligence to do that. That, if I understand, is the man in the context. He does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Or, as some versions will translate it, diligence will cause this man to treat his possessions with as if they're precious. And so, if that's correct, when we use the word lazy in the book of Proverbs, the idea that the guy, it's a person or a woman who will not follow through what ought to be done. Now, why don't they do that? The text doesn't say why this person didn't do it. Was it because I like to hunt, but I don't like to gut those animals? I don't like to clean those animals. I don't like to drag them back home. Is that it? Is it because it's unpleasant to him? Is it because he gets distracted with other things he simply likes to do and therefore does not take care of what he should be doing? I don't know the why. I just know that the text says the lazy man does not roast his prey. What does that have to do with us? People sometimes work hard to catch their prey, their mate. They date, they court, they spend money and time, they try to get off of work. They work to catch their prey. And so finally, they're successful. And they find someone that will marry them. Great. Now what? Now comes the day-to-day life. Now are they willing to exert the effort to do the things that ought to be done to continue to build that marriage? To be attentive to what ought to be done in the morning when you wake up together? Or in the evening when you come home and you're together? Is there attention to the kind of words that ought to be said? To the encouraging things that ought to be done? No, I don't like to do that. I just want to read the paper or watch TV. Vice versa on the woman's part, same thing. Maybe when she's trying to catch her husband. She fixes her hair, puts on perfume, wears nice clothes. Now I've got him. And you see women, all you have to do is go to the mall, go anywhere. They're not paying any attention to keeping their prey. They don't fix their hair. They dress like slobs. They're not attentive to those kind of things that will enhance their marriage. Why don't they do that? It's a lot of work sometimes for a woman to fix her hair, take care of the clothes, tend to her personal appearance. Just lazy. Oh, she may be very busy working in the yard. She may be very busy. She might be a busy cook. She might be busy with other things she likes. May spend hours doing Facebook. But does she do the things she ought to do to treat her possession as precious? She's captured her mate. And then there comes the requirement to do those things that will cultivate that marriage. Men ought to do the same things themselves. But men sometimes are lazy. They don't like to do those things, and therefore marriages deteriorate. The same is true with our spiritual life. People will study the Bible. They'll make sacrifices to become a Christian. And finally, they become a Christian. What a precious possession. To be able to sing with joy songs of home and heaven. To partake of these memorials to our Lord sacrificed for us. But now what is done to treat that possession as it ought to be, and that is to build ourselves up in the service of Christ. Oh, but I don't like to study or read or be involved in service. And there are people who, because of their laziness, do not take care of their possession. They don't do anything to develop their spiritual life. They're lazy. They may be hard worker. They may work 50, 60 hours a week doing what they want to do or doing what they feel like they must do to pay the bills. But what about their spiritual life and the things they ought to do to build themselves up? We just sang these songs about the love of Christ. Does that not demand? Is there not an ought to want to devote myself to His service? You can bring this on down to the level of the mundane. There are people who work hard to get a job. They may go through several interviews. They may send out a bunch of resumes. Now they got the job. Now what? Do they work hard to be the kind of employee that the employer will be satisfied with? Or do they just show up, maybe on time, do as little as possible, because they don't like it. They don't like to do that kind of work. Maybe the job involves things that are displeasant to them, unpleasant to them. If I understand lazy from Proverbs 12:27, it describes that person. And the reason I want to stress that is because in these three scenarios, the family, the spiritual life, and the workplace, the people I'm describing would not look at themselves as lazy. So you study the text and you decide for yourself whether or not lazy is describing someone who does nothing or someone who does not follow through to do what ought to be done to take care of those responsibilities that lie before them. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. Here's a verse that in this version says the sluggard. Remember we said if you run across that word, we don't use sluggard. Just say the lazy person. Does not plow after the autumn. Now you would have had to live in their culture to understand that. After the autumn was when you plowed for the next harvest. But the problem with that is, after the autumn is when the cold winter winds would blow. Now, this person may be busy doing other things or doing things when the sun is shining and things are lovely, but not after autumn because it's too cold. And we're going to see in a minute, in another verse or two we're going to read, making excuses is a classic of a lazy person. Excuses for not doing what ought to be done. And it may be cold. And if it's the rainy season, which it was in their society, it may be more difficult because of the rainy season. But if you want to harvest, look at the rest of the verse. He says here, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. If he's not willing to do what ought to be done, he does not reach the goal that he needs to reach. He does not have the future under his control. He has nothing. And the one reason sometimes in people's family, it never does reach the potential of the beautiful songs about you get married, you're going to live happily ever after. It doesn't happen. You know why? Because it's after autumn that people aren't willing to work. And so there's no harvest of joy and love and peace. If you want the harvest of a beautiful marriage, you got to work even when the rainy season is there, even when the cold winds are blowing, not just when it's fun and games. The same is true with spiritual life. There are times that you have to study when it's difficult. I've told you that studying is not my favorite thing to do. You might say that's strange for a guy that's a preacher. I'd just soon be out in the yard working. But it's the only way I can get where I need to be, to reap the harvest I want to reach. And so I have to force myself to do that. The same is true with any aspect of our spiritual life. If a person wants to become an elder and to serve the congregation, he'll have to work after autumn when things are difficult. Talk to people about things that may be difficult to talk about. Go make visits that are unpleasant. Now, this guy who's not willing to do that may be one of the hardest secular workers you've ever met. But he's lazy about his spiritual development because he doesn't want to do it. He just doesn't follow through for some reason or another. And the same is true with a job. People get a job. The employer gives them something to do. I don't like to do that. That's unpleasant. So what? Do you want your paycheck? Do you want to please your employer? Do you want to do a good job? Then even when it's unpleasant, when the cold winds blow, after autumn, you do it. I worked at the Gulf Oil Refinery for a while in the labor game. My boss would come along, for example, and he'd say, Steve, today I want you to take this jackhammer. I want you to bust this concrete up. We're going to lay a line here in this building. I said, okay. So I bust out the line. Tomorrow he comes back and says, we changed our mind. I want you to fill it up with concrete. What should be my attitude? It's okay with me. You're paying me. That's my job. Just do what needs to be done, what ought to be done. But the lazy person may not do that. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. I don't have it there on the chart. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 19. Why is it that people don't do what ought to be done, do not follow up, whether it's their family, their spiritual life, or secular work? They've got a world of excuses, a world of problems that keeps them from it. Look at Proverbs 15:19. The way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns. In other words, there's a lot of reasons, quote unquote, I can't do that. You want to go through a hedge of thorns? But look at the next statement. The path of the upright is like I-10. Oh, it didn't say that, did it? It's like a highway. In other words, the upright man who's not lazy, he's going to figure a way to get it done. That's the difference. And maybe if people that have jobs they keep losing would look in the mirror, maybe here's the problem. It's always a hedge of thorns why they can't get the job done and saying, I'm going to get that stuff out of the way and I'm going to go do what I need to do. Maybe that's why people don't grow spiritually. They can figure so many reasons why they can't understand the Bible or can't serve or whatever. Look at chapter 26 of the book of Proverbs, verse 13. The sluggard said, that's that lazy guy, 26:13. A lion is in the road, a lion's in the open square. Is there? I don't know. The point is, any excuse will work. That's the idea. Look again in verse 16. You know, you try to reason with this guy. Look. You're scared of something that's not there. There's really no lion. The sluggard is wiser and known in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. You get the wisest guys in the world. They can never convince this guy of what he ought to do. Whether it's a husband and how he ought to treat his wife. Here's what you need to do. Here's the attention you need to show. I don't like to do that. I'm tired when I get home. I want to go watch TV. A wife, here's what you need to do for your husband. Yeah, but you don't know my husband. And he's got this problem, that problem. He doesn't do that. There's that hedge of thorns. And you can reason and reason and reason. They've always got something to come back with. That's the lazy person. Always have an excuse. And they may blame others as to why they never achieve the goal that they want to achieve. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. It's interesting, isn't it, as we turn to chapter after chapter in this book of wisdom, teaching us right ways to live, wise ways to live. How many times Solomon has included sections that have to do with our topic tonight. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, O lazy person. Observe her ways and be wise. Now, what is it that we can learn from an ant of all things? First, look at verse 7 and 8. Which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. The lazy person is a person who lacks self-discipline. You know why companies have time clocks, don't you? Why don't they just tell people, look, we've got this much work to be done. Just show up and get all your work done. What time? Just whatever it takes for you to get that work done. You know what's going to happen. So here's a time clock. You get here at 8 o'clock and you can't leave before 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. If people have enough self-discipline, they don't need a time clock. Now, I realize there's some jobs you got to work within time frames because of the people you're dealing with. I'm a gospel preacher. And I tell young men that I work with, if you don't have self-discipline, you're not prepared to preach. You can be a great speaker. You can have a charisma in the pulpit. But if you don't have the discipline to do the study that you need to do, there's nobody going to be standing over you saying, now you need to study. Look, you could have office hours at the building. That doesn't mean you're going to spend them like you ought to spend them. It's the self-discipline. No chief, no officer, no ruler. You just know what you got to do when to gather your provisions in the harvest, when the crops are there, when the time is available, to be prepared for the future. The same is true with the family. It's this, nobody's going to tell you once you get married, come in and say, now, husband, do this today, do this tomorrow. No, they're not going to happen. And you know what? What's going to happen if they try to tell the husband? Get out of my business. None of your business. It's that self. This same thing with the wife. Hey, you need to fix your hair. You need to dress for your husband. Mind your own business. Don't need a mama, a daddy to keep telling you what to do. Have that self-discipline to follow through what needs to be done. Same thing with Bible study and developing your spiritual life. You don't have to have elders telling you to study or a preacher or go visit somebody or get on the phone and call somebody or if there's people in the hospital, go visit them. You have the self-discipline. And we've got a lot of folk here who have it. They just do it. They do it. The same thing is true with a job. If you're in a position of supervision, you don't want to have an employee that you always got to be checking on. You've got to follow them around and see if they're doing their job. You just want somebody that's responsible. You tell them what their work is, and they have the self-discipline to get it done. But a lazy person, not like the ant. The ant doesn't have the chief, officer, or ruler to make them do. Look at the next phrase in verse 9. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from sleep? The lazy person doesn't realize what's happening. He just, like this person here, goes to sleep, doesn't realize he's doing any harm, any danger all the time. Ruin is coming. He's losing the potential to do the things that he could be doing. And then the next line is, he says, you try to wake him up. He says, oh, I know I need to do it, but a little sleep, just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. In other words, I'm not trying to get out of my work. Just not right now. A little more sleep. Rationalization for procrastination. You don't understand my situation. And that's why families, sometimes their lives fall apart. Spiritual life falls apart. Churches aren't active. And that may be why on jobs people don't get promoted. Maybe get fired. Because they're just lazy. So I'm not lazy, man. I get home, me, first thing I do is go play golf, or I go play frisbee, or I go work in my garden. I'm not lazy. No, but what about the things that ought to be done that you may not like to do? That's the question. And then you have verse 11. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. You know, if a fellow was on a job and somebody came in and tried to get his job, get him fired. He'd be mad. You don't have to do that. You can take care of that yourself. Just be lazy. If somebody came in and tried to break up your family and cause your mate to lose respect for you, you would be mad. You don't have to do that. Just be lazy. You can take care of that loss of respect and love. The same is true spiritually. So this laziness results in poverty as if somebody had forcefully come in and robbed you. Go to the ant, you sluggard. is what the wisdom of Proverbs tells us. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 26. I drink apple cider vinegar in the morning. But I don't drink it straight. Some people do. You know, it's a little bitey. But I put it in with other stuff. Like vinegar to the teeth. It's unpleasant. It's irritating. It's biting, whatever. And smoke to the eyes. Irritable. It's not a comfortable situation. What's he talking about? So is the lazy one to them who send him. If you're an employer, if you've ever had people working for you, you know what this is talking about. You try to get people to do things, they don't do it, you have to come back and do it again, maybe you have to follow up and do it yourself. It's just downright irritating. That's exactly what happens. It's like smoke to the eyes. It's not a pleasant working relationship. And the person, boy, my boss is mean. No, your boss may not be mean. They just expect you to do your work. The same can be said of preachers. If preachers are lazy, not doing their work, that could be so irritating, for example, to elders who are trying to get them to do their work. Deacons that are lazy. We have good deacons here. They're very busy about their task. That's so appreciative. Appreciated. Just whatever that work may be in their spiritual life, the same is true in the family. There may be things that you need to do in your family that you really don't like to do. I could tell you about families that fell apart because of that. I could actually give you names. There's a family I'm thinking about right now. That when this man and wife were together, he didn't want to do anything that he considered, I guess, lot less than macho. Hold hands in public, be tender and sweet, and the kind of things that his wife would have really rejoiced in. But she put up with it. Then he had an affair. Oh, he happened to be an elder also. The new woman, oh man, he is all over her. But you see, as smoke to the eye, that's irritating. I don't want to do that. You don't do it because you just want to do it. You do it because that's what ought to be done. Because you love your mate. Because your marriage demands it. That's why. And this guy I'm talking about had a good job. I don't know that he was lazy secularly. He was a hunter. So he wasn't lazy about hunting. But those things that he considered unpleasant, he wouldn't have anything to do with until he got his new woman. And so, like smoke to the eyes, like vinegar to the teeth, so is the lazy one to those who send him. By the way, while I'm at it, we've got some young people in our audience. Mom and Dad say, "Why go empty the trash?" "I will, Mom." Mom goes, "Oh, try that." "Wyatt, empty the trash." "Mom, I'm watching TV." I don't know. Wyatt may go do that right away, so I'm not picking on Wyatt. I'm just using you as an illustration. After a while, about the third time, what's Mom's tone? And then when Dad comes in there, "No." I said, "Boy, Mom and Dad are tough." "No." "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes." Tell your kids, "Clean up your room. Pick up your clothes." They don't. And then Mom and Dad's voice gets a little bit louder. Their face gets a little bit redder. What in the world's wrong with them? Here, read the verse. There's what's wrong right here. They get tired of telling you to do the same thing over and over and over again. They shouldn't have to. And maybe that's time for Mom and Dad to apply some other measures to get your attention. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. the soul of the sluggard, the lazy person, craves and gets nothing. You know, there are people who are dreamers. Boy, I tell you what, I want to get rich. Boy, here's what I'd do if I have a lot of money. But do nothing to that end. And I'm not saying you should. That shouldn't be our goal in life. Or I want to get a good job. But what? Have you go get an education? Do you go get some training somewhere? They dream about it. They want it, but they get nothing because they're not willing to do the work to get to that end. That's what he's talking about right here. In chapter 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. He's just a dreamer. He never realizes his goal. There's people that get married. You have these beautiful weddings. Boy, the people are so full of love. They've got the dream that we're going to live happily ever after. You want to live happily ever after. It takes more than desiring it and saying it in a wedding ceremony. You got to work at it. And it's really not that hard. But you do have to work at it if you want something out of your marriage other than just the status quo. The same thing is true spiritually. You want to grow in Christ? You want to be more productive in the Lord? You got to work at it. You can't just dream about it. You can't even just pray about it. You got to work at it. And if we don't, I'll tell you what, we're putting ourselves in this category of the lazy person. Look at the rest of the verse. But the soul of the diligent is made fat. The diligent person who works, who's willing to exert the effort and maybe do things that they don't like to do in order to achieve that goal. Look at Proverbs chapter 21 in this connection. Verse 25. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death. How in the world can that be? Read the next line. For his hands refuse to work. Evidently, the writer of this proverb either refers to the fact that the lazy person's desire is not to work. The desire of the lazy person, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do what's unpleasant to me. You know, it's amazing to me. Good time for me to get off on this little hobby, I guess, for just a moment. I see young men. Their mamas spoil them when they're growing up. I don't like green beans. Okay, sweetheart, you don't have to agree with green beans. Bless your little heart. I don't like broccoli. Okay, sweetheart, you don't have to eat broccoli. So then when they get married, their poor wife's got to try to please that spoiled rascal. And, good, I got that off my chest. But anyway, look, the desire not to work. And we got to overcome those desires. I don't want this. I don't want... That's not the directive for life. It's what do I need to do? That's the point. And if you just follow those desires, what you like and don't like, it's gonna put you to death. Another option is he desires to do other things than work. I know I need to do that, but boy, there's a ball game on. Or I want to go to town, or I want to go hunting, or whatever it may be. Whatever it is, it keeps them from doing what ought to be done. His hands refuse to work. Work's not dishonorable. We were made to work when God made us. Now note the next verse. All day long he is craving. Look the contrast at the end of verse 26. While the righteous, now if you were to define righteous in the context, it's a contrast, isn't it? He's not talking about righteous morally versus immoral. He's not talking righteous in the sense of saved by the grace of Christ. That's not the context. You got the lazy person, you got the righteous person. The righteous gives and does not hold back. How is he able to give? Because he works. He works. He can not only provide for himself. He's not like the lazy person who has nothing. He has enough for himself and to share with others. Because he's not afraid to work. And so what a contrast. There's the guy who craves. He's a dreamer. Hear this text. He craves and he won't work, so it kills him. Look at Proverbs 24. You know, when you start reading the book of Proverbs, he tells you that the Proverbs are riddles, verse 7. That's the nature of them. And oftentimes the meaning is lying below the surface and you've got to figure out the riddle. Well, you have that kind of thing right here. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, this picture that he paints. You got to put yourself back in time, okay? They were doing something we don't do. Walking along the road. And out there's a field. We don't have fields. We've got houses and yards and apartment buildings. But that's what the picture is. You're walking along the road and there's a field out there. He says, I passed by the field of the sluggard, the lazy guy. And by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. So it's a field with that should be producing grapes, which was a very important item in their economy. He looked at the field and he said, behold, it's completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Man, it's a mess. When I saw reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. There's that excuse making. I'm going to get around to getting those weeds out of there tomorrow. It's nearly the end of the week. I'm going to get around to that next week. Those stones that fell off the field, I'm going to get to that too. But it's awfully hot today. I'm going to get to that. Right now I need to go take a nap. And so there's this vineyard. Look at verse 34. Your poverty will come as a robber, and your want as an armed man. The results could be no different than if a man came in and said, I hate you. I'm going to destroy your vineyard. I'm going to sow seeds. I'm going to cut your vines down. I'm going to tear you all down. He said, boy, that's terrible. You don't have to have that. You can do it to yourself. Just be lazy. You start out with this beautiful vineyard. You got this, maybe if you're a man, you got this beautiful wife. She says she loves you and she'll love you till the day you die. The woman's got this man that she thinks is handsome. Boy, this is so wonderful. You got this beautiful vineyard. You want it to be beautiful in 10 years, in 20 years, in 50 years. Then I'll tell you what you better do. You better do some cultivating. You better do some weeding. You better repair the fence when the stone wall breaks down. It takes work. You become a Christian. You come from the waters of baptism. You're rejoicing for your forgiveness. You want to keep having this relationship with Christ. You're going to have to get rid of weeds. You're going to have to build the wall. You're going to have to work at it. Go hire on someplace. You want a job. And maybe you dream of moving up the ladder. It doesn't just happen. Unless maybe you're the boss's son. You got to work at it. And you may have to do some things you don't like to do. But you don't have to have somebody destroy your vineyard. Just be lazy. It'll take care of itself. Well, my last passage really brings the importance of all this home to you and me on a spiritual scale. You're familiar with this story that Jesus told in Matthew 25. I don't have it on the chart, but look back at verse 15. So this man's going to go on a journey. And he's got some slaves, and he entrusted his possessions to them. On what basis did he do it? Look, it says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And what's that next phrase? Each according to his own ability. In other words, here's what he can do. And as you read the story, what he was expected to do, and thus what he ought to have done. That's what we've been talking about, isn't it? He's not expected to do more than he can do, but he's expected to do what he can do, and that's what ought to be done. He comes back and he makes a reckoning with these fellows. You remember the story, how the five-talent man went and gained five other talents, and he said in verse 21, "Well done, good and faithful, trustworthy slave." He said to the two-talent man, he said, "I've gained two more." Verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are trustworthy with what's entrusted to you." Came to the one-talent man. Verse 24 and 25, he makes excuses. Let's think about the reasoning of these excuses. Excuses don't have to make sense. Listen to this. The one who received the one talent man came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed." Think about that a minute. That makes sense. He wouldn't just be a hard man, he'd be a dumb man. You don't reap where you don't sow seed. It's an excuse. That's all it is. It's an excuse. So he said, "I was afraid." Well, look, if he was afraid, if this was such a terrible guy, dangerous guy, why didn't he go work and do something with that one talent? His speech betrays him. He's just lazy. Now, I don't know what he did with his time. He may have been busy in other pursuits. But he didn't follow up with what ought to be done. Why? I don't know. Did he not like investing? Did he think it was risky? Did he think it was unpleasant? I do not know the answer. The master said you should have at least put it in the bank. Now to receive my own back with interest. You could have done that much. But of course, Jesus wasn't talking about banking and finances and that kind of thing. He was making an application to you and me. And what God expects of you and me, He doesn't expect the same thing from all of us. What He does expect is what you can do. And that may be more than what I can do. And He may expect more out of me than what the next fella can do. And if I'm not lazy, I'm going to try to follow up and do what ought to be done, whether it's unpleasant or not. Well, there was this reckoning in verse 26. The master said to him, "I'm really disappointed in you." No, that's not what he said. Look what he said to the man. "You wicked." Was he immoral? Had he gambled away their talent? No, just lazy. "You wicked, lazy slave." That's what he said. And then he threw his own words back at him. If your supposed excuses were right, then here's what you should have done, verse 27. You didn't. And so when you get down to verse 30, throw the... what kind of slave? Worthless. He's worthless. "Throw the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now we've talked about jobs. And that's sad when people are lazy on their jobs. We've talked about the family, and boy, there can be tremendous consequences when we're lazy in our families. We can lose our families. We can lose the joys of family. And when we're lazy spiritually, we cannot develop ourselves. But wouldn't it be sad if we're lazy spiritually? And on that great and final day, Jesus says, "You're a wicked, lazy slave, and you're worthless to me." Throw him out. Think about it as together we stand and sing.